and I welcome you once again to the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning, afternoon, or maybe in Europe, evening, coffee break, Computer Guy, and all-around fun stuff program. You're not going to want to miss this. May not be as entertaining as the Republican debates, but at least you will learn something, probably giggle a few times, and appreciate your community more. And that's one of the main focuses of this program. Understand that we as Homo sapiens share this great land with plants, other members of the animal kingdom, and probably some aliens out there, at least judged by some of the things going on in the world recently. And I bring to you our official expert on those kinds of things, Mr. James Anderson, the naturalist for the Marion County Park District. He and I get together about once a month on these airwaves and talk about seasonal events going on at the Park District, regular events, past events, and of course, the world around us. So hopefully the intern has properly patched the right cables, duct taped all the connections, and we've crossed our fingers a few times, and let's check let's check the equipment. James, how are you? How are you on this early fall day?
Oh, I am wonderful.
Well, that's good. Wonderful is always a good thing, because if you're not doing wonderfully, we kind of wonder how you're doing at all. And we always appreciate you coming on and sharing these airwaves with us. And as I tell my esteemed listeners, this is certainly radio worth listening to. For those who may not be familiar with you, James, remind our audience exactly who you are and your current position, and why we invite you to these airwaves and why you provide such good information.
Yeah, so I'm the park naturalist for the Marion County Park District, so I'm in charge of the county parks. So that includes Paradise, Greensboro, Myers Woods. We do have one in Caledonia, but not accessible at the time, and then Marion Tallgrass Trail. A lot of people don't realize there are about 8 or 9 parks departments in Marion County. We're just one of them. So, yes, we are separate from the city parks, the village parks, but again, even though we're all separate, but we still like to partner with one another with different projects and programs. But yeah, I've been on the radio with you guys, gosh, maybe about 6-8 years, somewhere around that time frame, when we started with Charlie Evers and moved on with different people. So yeah, I come on these waves to talk about, yes, things in nature, but also some updates with the Marion County Park District and, of course, the upcoming programs for the following month.
So you're a busy gentleman performing a task that hopefully we appreciate greatly. I know I do. Your knowledge is excellent. I always learn something when you're on the air with me, and we always laugh a little bit, and hopefully we encourage people in the community to take advantage of all the good work that you do. And we haven't really covered this before, James, but you said there are multiple park districts in the county. Now, Marion County,
yeah,
is it one of our largest counties in the state? So it seems like we have quite a bit, and I always say appreciate nature. So to me, it's a very good thing. So I apologize if I don't know as much as I should. The smaller villages in Marion County, Caledonia, Green Camp, etc., do they have a park district? Does the city of Marion have a park district? And how do these places, both in resources and activities, compare to what you do as the county park district person?
So I would say each village has their own parks department, and of course the city of Marion has their own parks department. And then I also include Big Island Wildlife Area, Killdeer Plains Wildlife Area, which are owned by the state of Ohio, the Division of Wildlife, and then the two properties owned by Pheasants Forever, which would be the Beaver Wildlife Area and the John Mollett Family Track out by LaRue. So program-wise, none of them really do any nature programs. They don't have any naturalists, Sam. I'm the only naturalist in Marion County, but like the city of Marion's funded through taxes, and I assume some of the different villages are as well. Then of course there's the Paradise Nature Center, which is across our one park, that's formed by their own board. They don't do much environmental programs anymore, but they do art shows and some music shows. So, yeah, we're all funded differently, but, you know, program-wise, yes, the Marion County Park District is the only one that does actual nature programs for the general public.
So even the City of Marion Parks, they don't have a naturalist, and you're a full-time employee, naturalist like yourself, they don't really have the program, so these parks departments exist, but you actually get your hands dirty, so to speak, have these programs and get people out into nature and have a relationship, again, with the media, obviously, as you're on other stations. And sometimes the content intersects, sometimes it's totally different. So we do have these departments, but you basically have the one that's the most hands-on, and you're the only person who's a full-time, get-your-hands-dirty, so to speak, employee of a parks district.
Yes, correct.
Is that typical in other counties about the size of Marion County? I mean, you live in Morrow County, so it's a smaller county. Mount Gilead is about the only place of any significance. Is it similar there where there's a county park person? Is he or she a full-time? Does Mount Gilead have a park district? I mean, it's a beautiful area. It's one of the most scenic counties, and a lot of people don't realize all the scenery and all the history in that area. But even though it's a smaller county, does what they have compare to what we do in Marion, as well as other counties nearby, if you're familiar with Hardin County or Wyandotte? How do they compare? I might as well ask, because this hasn't really come up, and it is kind of a curiosity.
So, yeah, so some of our counties are similar to us, like Morrow County, as you mentioned. They do have the Morrow County Park District. They do not have any employees. They don't get as much funding as we get. But, you know, they try their best. They do programs, you know, every once in a while. And then, of course, we do have some of our other adjacent counties, like Crawford and Delaware, which do have a lot more resources, do have a lot more funding, and, you know, they do not just programming, but also a lot of conservation work, which I would love to, but, again, due to limited manpower and resources and funding, we can do some, we just can't do as much. Like Delaware County, of course, you know, Delaware County is a very large county population-wise, They, of course, have a very, very large levy over in the Delaware region. And I know they have over 30 employees at the Delaware County Park District. And then, of course, like Union County and Hardin County, our counties to the west, well, they don't have a actual park district. So not every county in Ohio has a park district.
So I would say for a county the size of Marion, we have quite a lot of activities. And Delaware is huge. Now, a lot of history there in Delaware County also. It's a rapidly growing, one of the fastest growing counties in the Midwest, if not the entire country. So they're keeping up with all the people coming in, the school kids who are curious. We certainly encourage people to establish a curiosity of our natural resources of flora and fauna. Everything else, even aliens, as I mentioned, especially as we approach Halloween time, start at an early age, and you will definitely have interests piqued. And I think what you do in Marion is great. Obviously, you're only as good as your people. So for a county the size of Marion County, we do get a lot done. And it's important that people understand that these programs are available. Now, we're going to talk about programs, James, from last month and this month and upcoming times. But most of these programs, as we've said, they are free and open to anybody. As long as you're a human being, you can come. You don't have to live in Marion County. Anybody who's interested can come. And some of the events are pet friendly. This kind of depends. We also say pick up after your pet. But that would be the case, though.
Yeah.
Unlike things like maybe a county or city swimming pool or other events that are specifically for the taxpayers of a certain locality, your events are free. Somebody visiting from California, hopefully hearing this show or hearing from a relative or friend, can come to your events. There's no restriction as to residency or exactly who pays, who doesn't. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Yep. Okay, and that's a good thing. We want this to be free.
Some of the metro parks that I know, they do charge for their programming. So yeah, we're one of the few park districts that, you know, do offer free nature programs.
And that's good. So many of the districts then aren't quite as generous as we are, so to speak, with allowing anybody to participate. And I think that's good. I mean, I don't mind paying a few dollars to learn something, to get out of the house, to get exercise. These events often involve walking and other things that are healthy. But the fact that it is free does encourage people. And that, I think, adds to the value that we can offer.
Yes, absolutely.
We've had your two-time intern, Jonah, on earlier in the year. He was an intern actually for 2 years, and now he's a college person. And of course, we'll have another intern for next year. Can you tell us about the intern hiring process for the district? For those who might be listening and wanting to be an intern, what are the qualifications, and when should and how should somebody apply if he or she wants to be an intern?
Yeah, so we'll start that process probably in late December, January time, because the reason why we start so early, because especially college students, that's when, you know, that's the time frame a lot of them are looking for internships, because I know when I was in college, if you didn't have a job by February, most likely it would have been hard finding something for the summer. But kind of the hiring process goes, so we obviously advertise on our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and all that. But we also go to some of the local job fairs. I know Marion Technical College / Marion OSU offers something. And then a lot of times, too, I go down where I went and got my associate's degree at Hocking College. And I go down and for their job fair and for recruiting for interns. So some of the qualifications, we're wanting someone to have a very strong background in natural resources, nature, just something like that. Because obviously, you know, that's going to be your position. I mean, you are teaching natural resources to people. So we were more, you know, for college students, but we've kind of been lenient for later high school students, juniors, seniors. So again, as long as you have a very strong background in something and like that, we'll look at you. Obviously, you know, have your own transportation because, you know, we do drive around the county. So just make sure, you have reliable transportation. And it is able, you know, to do public speaking from young kids to up to seniors. So, you know, able to have that large range, you know, able to talk to different groups of people. And so, but yeah, usually about March-ish, middle of March, end of March, once we start getting applicants in and all, if we haven't found a college student yet, it's more if it's the local community, then we look at our resumes, then we'll do conduct interviews, and then we'll do a hiring process. And then usually about May or June is when it starts, and the position usually ends in August. And this is a paid internship. A lot of internships are not paid. So I know I had a lot of friends in college that had to do unpaid internships.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering. Don't want to be nosy, you know, don't want to go ahead and start disclosing salaries. But internship often is a volunteer position. You certainly learn, and you can, in many cases, get college credit. Certainly looks good on the resume. I mean, Jonah being the textbook example of an intern. Can I ask, how much does it pay? Is it negotiable based on the person? Any other benefits? Was kind of wondering, so since you brought that up, I always guess I'll be nosy and I'll ask.
No, that's fine, because we have to advertise it to the public. So, no, it is just minimum wage. But because it's only temporary, so no benefits are offered. So, again, it's only about a three-month position.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly beats some of the traditional summer-type jobs. So a great opportunity for a young male or female person to become the next intern. And again, you learn every day. And as you said, Jonah's a walking encyclopedia on reptiles and other stuff. And
you've learned
from him. You know, if you wake up every day, you learn something. Every single day you learn something. Doesn't matter whom it's from or what you learned, you will definitely go to bed a person with more wisdom than the person you woke up as. Have you talked to Jonah at all since he ended his internship and became a full-time student?
So right at the end of August, I was at the involvement fair through OSU. So they had grabbed different companies and agencies and organizations in Marion County that students could utilize or, use those resources. Of course, being with the parks, they want me to come out because they want me to talk to the students because, most of the students are not from the Marion area. So I talk to a lot of the students of where they can go hiking because a lot of them miss, a lot of them come from like Columbus and Cleveland and Toledo, which have their big park district or their metro parks. And so, I say, we have similar parks to where you grew up on and, you come on out and you can enjoy nature. So it's funny, when I was there, he was only a student, that was probably his second week. So he wasn't a student for very long. But every once in a while, him and I will talk, but he's doing pretty good at school. So I'm glad that he's gotten where he wants to be.
Yeah, no question, having spoken with him in the studio, that is a sharp young man and one who is very committed and just loves what he does. And that's the way it has to be, James. You don't go to a job just to clock in and clock out and make that dough, work for the man, so to speak. You have to love what you do. And I know you love what you do. You wake up saying, wow, I'm the naturalist. And for Marion County Park District, I go on the radio. I give tours to people of all ages. I help to coordinate programs. I work on the social media. I just love what I do. And I don't have to ask. I know that you do. I mean, and that's great. And that's what we need to have, people that are really into this. And we're hoping, obviously, that people who go to your events, follow on social media, and listen to this program will have interest piqued and want to investigate further what the Park District can do. Speaking with Mr. James Anderson, the official naturalist for the Marion County Park District, and official naturalist, that's what counts, James, the official naturalist of this radio station, WGH Talk Radio, broadcasting all over the Milky Way, at our website, WWGH1071.com, and of course on the TuneIn app and many other ways. So, James, we're going to talk about some of the events that you put on and coordinated in recent times and, of course, some upcoming events. But before we do that, before I forget, Halloween seems like in my lifetime has gone from just a minor thing where kids go trick-or-treating to and a big adult celebration that kind of starts in the middle of August after back-to-school time wanes. We have these Halloween stores and people putting up decorations while it's still hot and sticky outside. Of course, this time of the year, it's hot and sticky one day and windbreaker and sweats weather the next. Is the Park District doing anything for Halloween? Are they going to have a haunted house or put up jack-o'-lanterns along the tall grass trail? Is Halloween an event of any kind with the Park District? Something else I've kind of wondered about, and I figured I might as well ask.
No, absolutely. We do. It's our largest event. It's called Trail of Treats. So last year, we had a little over 1,200 people, 500 kids that came through. So if you're not familiar, Trail of Treats is basically our large trick-or-treat event. So what will happen is the participants, they will start on the one side, the right side. Then they'll go down so far. We usually about a half mile, if just depend on how many participants or people passing out candy, how many from the community come in. And then whoever's the last person on the right, then they turn around and then they come back on the left. And, some years, we get a lot of people that bring a lot of candy. And, of course, some kids get really full bags of candy. So, it's, again, a very, very great event. So I definitely wanted to talk about that because if you're a group or organization or a company and you want to come out to that event and pass out candy and to get your name out there, it is free. I know some trick-or-treat things wants you to sponsor money, but no, ours is free. Also, too, say you wanted to participate, but you really couldn't just due to other obligations. If you want to donate candy or non-candy items, we're always open to that. So non-candy items, can we get some, kids that are, could be diabetic or, also too, can't eat much different candy. So we try to offer those non-candy options, like Peacock Water already is donating 10 cases of water. So that's about 250 bottles of water. So it's a very good community event, and it's family-friendly. We just ask, if you do dress up, make sure it's family-appropriate. So if you are interested of either helping or donating, we're always needing people to help with parking cars. That's always the biggest issue. We don't have the largest parking lot there at the trailhead. But, yes, if you're interested in any of those things, definitely reach out on our social media, the Marion Tallgrass Trail Facebook page, Instagram, or Twitter accounts and shoot me up a message, and I will definitely get you some more information about the event.
Glad I asked, James, that Halloween is taken very seriously. I mean, I'm a generation older than you, my goodness. But anyway, have you noticed, though, in your lifetime, James, that Halloween has kind of transitioned from this trick-or-treating, let's scare people, go to haunted houses event to not an official holiday, but more of an adult event with the Halloween stores and all these Halloween events? And it seems like with Christmas, it seems to start earlier and earlier. When I went to school started around Labor Day. Now it starts mid to late August. And so when back to school time is over, meaning mid to late August, Halloween time starts. We have all these Halloween stores, and it's like a 2.5 month event. And almost like with Christmas, it isn't really the day that's important. It's the time leading up to it. Have you noticed that also, or am I kind of exaggerating, did you think?
No, I agree. I remember as a kid, I mean, yeah, it was pretty big for kids, but seems as the older I got, it seems like they've also transitioned for more adults, especially young adults. You know, it seems like there's a lot more costumes for adults, and, you know, there's more activities for adults. But yeah, I agree. I definitely, within my lifetime, I have seen that transition.
Yeah, it's just kind of fascinating. I mean, it's kind of a fun time. It's certainly controversial. I think the world... the current condition of the world, it's good to have a little bit of fun, and you can learn from fun. Fun doesn't have to be something that is considered immature or wasteful. Yeah. You're never too old to celebrate and enjoy Halloween. So I'm not a big Halloween person myself, but I do think it's okay, and it kind of makes the back to school time, the change of the season time, be more interesting, and maybe some people find it depressing, so not quite as depressing, and then it kind of morphs into Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, New Year's Eve, and we have kind of Thanksgiving in the middle. So it's almost like from now until beginning of January, there's always going to be some type of holiday that we're going to be attending to. And that isn't necessarily bad. If you don't want to participate, you don't have to. But we do encourage people, again, take advantage of these Halloween events at the Tallgrass Trail brought on by James and the people at the Park District, as they're fun. And you might... actually find that you've underestimated the quality of the event. You might meet a new friend. Get some exercise, that's for sure. Hiking, walking, great exercise. The events are handicap friendly. They are, for the most part, pet friendly. So really is no excuse. Get out there and enjoy Mother Nature. Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the historic city of Marion, OH, and that's also, of course, in Marion County. We're joined today by Mr. James Anderson, as we are about once a month, discussing the goings-on at the Park District. Now, a few weeks ago, James, kind of, not sure we broke a record, but at least we have something to brag about. A few hundred people came out to one of your events, and that's quite impressive. Tell us about the event that attracted hundreds of people, and has that compared favorably or maybe even not quite as favorably to previous events? And any comments you have about the great turnout at said event?
Yeah, so that was Paleontology in the Park. If you're not familiar, it's our AKA the dinosaur event. Paleontology is about animals, prehistoric animals, organisms, dinosaurs, mammoths, saber-toothed tigers, all that jazz. And so I will admit about that event, I do not do any of the planning or gathering materials or anything. That is all done by my one volunteer. His name is Wayne Fowler. He used to work for the Boy Scouts. He did, I can't remember what his official title was, but he's retired. And he just loves dinosaurs. And it's funny how our relationship grew. And I remember one day he asked me, he said, can I do a dinosaur program, just like a little small program? And it's again, and a number of people came, and he got really excited. He said, can I do a dinosaur event? And I said, well, I guess you could. And so we started from that, and we're doing it for about 6 years. And I tell you what, every year it just gets bigger and bigger. And yes, this year we broke our record. We had over 300 people that came. And again, it was so, so successful. And Wayne always outdone himself. One of the things he does really well is he brings in a lot of different different aspects into the events. What I mean by that, he brings in different groups of people. So he always has been getting the Orton Geological Museum, which is down in Columbus. They have a great paleontology little area you can go down exploring. And then last year, he got in the Ohio Geological Survey and then the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. They came out last year, and they also came out this year. So the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium brought a person in a costume. It's an Allosaurus. Her name is Nina. And I tell you what, that is definitely the big highlight with the kids. So, but yes, we are always thankful, you know, of all the other volunteers, River Valley FFA. They brought in about 12 kids, and we had some different people to help volunteer. So without those guys, that event would definitely not run very well. So again, thank you to everyone. And also to, again, thank you to Wayne Fowler. And of course, we always talk about the Marion Mammoth discovery from over 40 years ago. A lot of people don't realize we had a mammoth discovery. And what I mean by mammoth discovery is the remains of a mammoth. So,
and we talked about the mammoth when Jonah was on with us, kind of like a gigantic elephant, but not Jurassic Park, where we're going to go ahead and recreate these prehistoric creatures. They will roam Marion, and who knows what they might do. But people are definitely interested in dinosaurs, Brontosaurus, and all those other creatures. That kind of surprised you? I mean, obviously, Wayne's doing a great job. I mean, the whole district deserves to be commended. Have you kind of like with Halloween, James, have you seen in your lifetime that, and you were born, I think, late 80s or early 90s, and I'm not mistaken. We're not going to say exactly when, but again, I can remember those times. I was living in Central Ohio at that time, and so I've seen some of these evolutions. Like with Halloween, James, have you seen a resurgence and an increasing interest in the ancient creatures in paleontology, and do you think it's going to continue?
Oh, yeah. I think dinosaurs are always a great fascination. I mean, I remember when I was young, of course, watching Jurassic Park and the original Jurassic Park and also Land Before Time. That always, you know, got my spark in dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals. And I know Land Before Time has kind of been pushed away, but it still seems like Jurassic Park or / Jurassic World is still being hit hard today. So I think Hollywood has definitely helped keep that spark of that interest about dinosaurs, especially with the young kids. And of course, some kids, you know, develop, you know, when they get older into adults. Our one kid, he was a high school student from River Valley, and he had an immense knowledge about paleontology / dinosaurs. And so Wayne actually, he kind of talked to him, and he said, okay, well, I guess I'm going to let you run this one station. And, you know, he just met him that day. And he was a very, very smart young man. And I will admit, I don't know much about paleontology. And he is very, very fascinating about all the stuff that he knows about dinosaurs.
So that's something which we expect may continue. I'm certainly interested, and maybe I just watched the Flintstones a few too many times. But the creatures that roamed this great earth before Homo sapiens took over—it's an interesting study. It's somewhat controversial, but these paleontology and similar events can help people learn about it and form their own opinion, and that's what's good. Stimulate a little bit of thinking. It's a good thing. Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, broadcasting out of Marion, OH, speaking with, well, it's also in Marion County, but speaking with the Marion County Park District naturalist and official head honcho, Mr. James Anderson. He joins us on the air about once a month to talk about park events, past, present, and we always giggle a few times, and to me, that's the most important part. So the paleontology thing, James, was a tremendous success. Also, you guys were at the Thursday event that takes place in Marion every month that will be resuming in the spring. And how did that go this past year?
Well, we didn't get rained out, so that was a good thing. The last three, we've gotten rained out. So, yeah, it was a really good crowd.
Well, that's good to hear. And you'll be participating again coming this spring.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And that's something where if people aren't familiar with the Park District, come out and talk to you guys and find out exactly what you do. Might surprise you. So other events that took place since we last talked, James, in the month of September, go ahead and share with us how they went. I don't think anything beat the crowd and enthusiasm of the paleontology, but certainly that was not the only thing that you've done in the last few weeks.
Yeah, so we had our wetland program. We had about 8 people came out. So we talked about what wetlands were and actually went out on the trail and discovered a wetland and the things that inhabit it. We actually found some small leeches, which I was stoked about. Of course, the people that came with me were really impressed by finding leeches. And then also, too, we had our night hike last Saturday, had about a dozen people. So, yeah, fall time is always a really good time with our programming. I will admit, after October, which we'll talk about those programs in a little bit, but they kind of start slowing down. November, we get some, and then once really December hits, programming-wise, I mean, I still offer it, but participation goes down because of weather and also to the holidays. So
just because the weather is cooling off, the nip of fall is in the air, doesn't mean that the park district goes into hibernation, just a change in exactly what may be brought about. There's been some news coverage, James, about the weather, you know, whether it's climate change. I mean, who knows? That's another topic of controversy and political mumbo-jumbo, I guess. Do you expect the fall foliage season to be better, to be worse? Any tips on enjoying the fall foliage this year, and how is it going to compare it up to previous times?
I think we're going to be probably a little bit earlier than in years past because we haven't had much rain. And, you know, that's the time when our transition, when the trees, you know, they need to start conserving their energy. You know, we've been getting those cool nights, which been, you know, telling the trees or trigger the chemicals that's telling the trees, hey, it's starting to start a process. We need to conserve energy, lose those leaves. And, but yeah, due to lack of rainfall, I think, yeah, I just think we're going to be a little bit sooner. They predicted ODNR. They think about mid-October, which is in here in a couple weeks, we should be at the peak and probably by Halloween time, we should. Most of our leaves are probably going to be gone. Compared to other falls, I mean, you know, we've had some really wet falls that the leaves have stayed on till probably early November. But I think this year it's going to be late October by the time all of our leaves are gone. That's just my prediction.
So this may not be one of the best fall foliage times, but it will be early. And we love the beauty of the leaves. You mentioned you have connections in southeastern Ohio, and surprisingly, some of those areas near the Wayne National Forest, near the West Virginia border in southeastern Ohio, is considered to have some of the best fall foliage in the country. You normally think of New England and some other areas, but Ohio is no slouch when it comes
to
leaves.
It's ranked number two, actually.
Sorry?
Yeah, it's actually ranked, it's ranked number two as the most visited destination for fall foliage. That, like you mentioned, that New England or whatever, one of those eastern states, that is number one for visiting for fall foliage.
So don't take Ohio for granted. We have quite a diversity of seasons and of things to do. Where exactly, again, and we talked about this last year, but let's recapitulate. Where exactly should someone go in southeastern Ohio to see this number two visited destination for foliage?
I mean, of course, Hocking Hills, but I mean, you got to be mindful because everybody visits Hocking Hills. I always tell people go early. If you're not an early bird, I will admit if you go more in afternoon, you're going to have to fight a crowd. Last year I saw somebody who went probably about late afternoon and they were in a 3-mile car line just to get to the parking lot there at Old Man's Cave. And also to explore the other major parks down in Hocking Hills, there's a Rock House, there's a Conco's Hollow, there's a lot more than just Old Man's Cave and Ash Cave and all that. So, and of course, you know, going places around like in Nelsonville, I know around Athens, they do have some trails. Not much of the major hiking trails like Old Man's or Ash Cave, but it still has some nice, decent scenery. So, yeah, I lived down there for 5 years, so of course I know some of the other hot spots for finding some good fall foliage scenery.
Adam here with James Anderson talking about, well, of course, fall foliage, Halloween happenings, and the Tall Grass Trail and other park district stuff. So lots going on. In the past, in the future. So what are the, besides the Halloween item, which we talked about, which I'm kind of surprised how extensive it is. So we do encourage people to partake of it. Please visit your Facebook page for the Marion County Park District for the specifics, any registration forms, etc. What else is going on in the next few weeks as we definitely get full board into autumn of 23?
Yeah, so on October 2nd at 5:30 p.m., we have our Scoop on Scat. If you're not familiar, Scat is just a fancy name for animal poop. We did this a few years ago with the Marion Public Library, so they asked us to come back in again. And I know it's a gross topic, but yes, we are going to be talking about animal scat again on the 2nd at 5:30. So learn how to identify some scat. On the 3rd at 5:30, we're going to be doing a pawpaw program at Tallgrass Trail and at the trailhead. I'll be talking about the plant, and then I'll be bringing fruit for people to try. On the 9th at 5:30, we're doing a spectacular spiders program at the trailhead at Tallgrass. So we'll be talking about some of the spiders that call Marion home. And then on the 14th at 8:30 p.m., we have our last night hike at the park program there at the Tallgrass Trail at the trailhead. So we do science in the dark. We do some fun experiments. Just please bring some type of red light, rather a flashlight or a headlamp that produces a headlight or a red light, excuse me. On the 16th at 5:30, we have our Snakes on a Trail program at Tallgrass Trail, the trailhead. So we'll be talking about some of the snake friends that call Marion County home or the trail home. Then on the 23rd at 5 o'clock p.m., we're doing a Feathers and Fur, The Secret Lives of Bats and Owls. There at the Tallgrass Trail, the trailhead. So we'll be talking about some of the ecology or what makes bats and owls pretty special. Then later on, we will be going out on the trail and try to find some different bats and owls that call the Tallgrass Trail home. And then on the 25th from 5:30 to 7:30, the Transition Fair of Tribe Rivers Career Center. So that's part of, we'll be part of their event. And then as we mentioned about Trail of Treats, which is October 28th, that's from 3 to 5. So dress up and get some free candy. Can't be that. And then our last program for the month of October, on October 30th at 5 o'clock p.m., we have the Beneath the Surface Mastering the Skull Identification there at the Marion Tallgrass Trail, the trailhead. So I'll be bringing in some of my animal skulls, and I'll be giving you some tips and tricks on how to identify animal skulls.
So two of the events are not for the squeamish animal waste, but you learn a lot from waste. In fact, a lot of people, I think, they determine what kind of animal might have been in their yard by looking at that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not the most pleasant event, but it's something you can learn from. So if you don't mind being a bit open-minded, you're not quite so squeamish, it might be one of the most fascinating events that will be brought to you by the Tallgrass Trail and the Park District and James and his esteemed crew. The snake event, you know, one of my favorite animals is the snake. This would include possibly the poisonous snakes that we have, the copperheads, although they're more to in southern and eastern Ohio. I think you mentioned there is a kind of rattlesnake we have in this area. And, of course, the omnipresent garter snakes and the brown snakes. What kind, and will there be any risk that somebody might be encountering a poisonous snake?
So the ones we're going to be primarily seeing on that program is probably garter snake and the brown snake. And hopefully we find some of our bigger snake species, the milk snake, the black rat snake, and the water snake. So the one venomous species, that's the Eastern Mossasauga. So that guy is not much at Tallgrass. Now, our one park at Myers Woods, which is there on the Marion-Wyandotte County border, I have not seen any at Myers Woods, but I have seen some down further along the trail, part of Keweenaw Plains Wildlife Area, because that's where the strongest concentration of Mossasaugas are in the state, is in Keweenaw Plains.
So you might find one of them, and hopefully it will be a pleasant encounter. Generally, James, even with these dangerous rattlesnakes, they're shy by nature. They're just aggressive if you try to step on them or catch them or just do something to interfere with their normal way of life. They're not like a bear that might charge towards you with an unfavorable result. Yeah. In general, snakes, you know, they're more afraid of you than you are of them, but they will defend themselves if necessary. Garter snakes technically do have venom, but it's not very powerful, so the bite is not something to be overly concerned about, but you do want to give them their space, and they are valuable members of the ecosystem. They eat rats and insects and other things that we might find to be unpleasant, and I think learning about them, you get to respect them And always a bit of a surprise because they are a bit like chameleons, you know. They don't want to really be noticed, so you never quite know what you're gonna find. These snake events, James, have you found that people maybe are not quite as afraid of snakes as they thought they were, or have people been freaked out? I would imagine you have all kinds of results. You never quite know how people are going to react.
So the ones who mainly come out for the program, for like that particular program, they're more interested in snakes. So if they've encountered one, I mean, they're like me, get very excited and all that. It's when they go out along the trail and they just want to enjoy their nice little walk, and then they encounter them and they're like, oh my goodness, there's a snake on the trail. And it's so funny. I'm not saying I get a lot, but I do get some people that get really actually very upset with me, and they says, well, I shouldn't be seeing them. And, you know, Jonah made a very good point on his first interview, you know, a couple years ago, because we always ask that one question, you know, about, you know, how do you, if you have somebody that doesn't like snakes, how do you, you know, interact with that kind of person? And he said, so I'll never forget that, he said, you know, when we're going to these parks, whether it's Tallgrass or Sawyer Ludwig or Big Island Wildlife Area, it's their home. And, you know, we can't be upset for them being present because, again, it's their home. And, you know, I kind of use that. So, yes, I know some people are not fans of snakes. And, you know, that's right. Everybody has a fear. I said, I always respect that. But I said, what I always have an issue is when they use that fear, and people use that fear, and then they want to go ahead and kill that snake because of its presence. Rather, it's, you know, not hurting anybody. It just wants to be there left alone, but yet they want to get the garden rake and chop their head off. And that's where I say, you know, let's leave them alone. They just want to do their thing. And as you mentioned, they're not going to attack you. I mean, the only time they're going to attack you is, yeah, obviously if you're going to, you know, be messing with them. And like I always said, you know, you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone.
So good advice, James. And we encourage people who might be curious about snakes to come out and enjoy that event. You might learn something, might shriek a couple times, but at least it'll be a way to respect their natural habitat and realize that Homo sapiens by no means are the only creatures that inhabit this great earth. And some of these other species are quite interesting to say the least, and we can learn even from snakes. We can learn about our natural environs. Well, James, as my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun. We're about ready to wrap things up. We really appreciate you being on the air with us today. We're going to repeat this show multiple times because it's so good. It's available on our website under the Adam section at wwgh1071.com. Your previous talks with Glenn and Charlie, also available on the website. Remind us quickly, James, before the meter runs out, how to follow the Park District on social media.
Yep. So if you're on Facebook, the Marion County Park District or Marion Tallgrass Trail Facebook page, Instagram, just Marion County Park District, same with Twitter as well.
So an easy way to stay in touch. And James, thank you again. We wish you a productive fall with upcoming Halloween and Christmas celebrations at the Park District. And we shall talk to you again soon. And I remind folks, if you'd like to email me questions about this show or others, complaints, suggestions, or you just want to say hello there, adam@wwgh1071.com.